The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Well, we're here. It's the end of the college football season. It is the morning of January 9th, 2024. And for the first time in 729 days, Jake, Georgia is no longer the reigning national champions of college football. Michigan, number one ranked Michigan, finishes the season undefeated, 15-0. They beat number two Washington, 34-13. They are the national champions. We will recap that game. I got a couple of other news and storylines across college football as we put a bow on this season of Punt and Pass, season seven, second season with Jake Fromm in the fold. It's been a lot of fun. Jake, what's up, man? How are you?
Yeah, man, it's been a blast. Can't believe college football is, man, it's finally over. Kind of depressing a little bit just because it is just so fun and enjoyable to watch. It's exciting. All the good stuff that goes around with it, but all good things must come to an end. And that'll just give us an excuse to look forward to next year. But doing well. Our season just ended as well. Yep. So the wife and I are packing up here in Washington, D.C. and ready to head home today.
Absolutely. Getting back to the great state of Georgia. All good things must come to an end, Jake Fromm says. Here's what does not come to an end. The discount you can get at Solomon Brothers Jewelers, thanks to them being the presenting sponsor of the Punt and Pass Podcast. That's right. It may be January. The holidays might be behind us. But you've got anniversaries, you've got birthdays, you've got honey-do lists that are a mile long. If you want to gain some favor on the home front, head on over to Solomon Brothers Jewelers. They have three amazing locations for you to shop at. One is in Buckhead, 17th floor Tower Place. The other in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon, a brand new location down in Peachtree City. Solomon Brothers Jewelers has the biggest selection, the best quality, the lowest prices, and an in-store experience that is totally unmatched. When you go there, mention the Punt and Pass Podcast or myself or Jake Fromm. You can get 10% off your jewelry purchase. If you don't know what you want, go check them out on social media. They are at Solomon Brothers on X and Instagram, SolomonBrothers.com. I was there last week. Again, Jackie's ring that I got her for, we get a ring for each child that we've had. So we got Olivia's ring. A little stackable ring situation. It's absolutely gorgeous. So huge shout out to Jaron and the whole team over at Solomon Brothers. Jake, I'm sure you'll be making a stop there when you get back to the great state of Georgia. So check them out at Solomon Brothers, SolomonBrothers.com. Yeah, we can just go ahead and recap the game. First things first, Michigan is your national champion, 34-13. This one kind of got out of hand a little bit later in the fourth quarter. I think the score, the final score, would say this game was not that big of a blowout. Michigan won both lines of scrimmage, Jake. They were so fundamentally sound, but here is what it comes down to. Michigan had 303 rushing yards. Washington had 301 total yards. So really, they dominated on the ground. They didn't turn the ball over. It was kind of one of the ways that you thought they would be able to win. Physicality, toughness, and playing for all four quarters.
Yeah, I love the game plan for Michigan here because they didn't deviate from who they are.
Yeah.
Like, they dominated at the line of scrimmage. They dominated the point of attack. And obviously, yes, they dominated. The offensive line dominated Washington's defensive line. But I think the unsung hero here is Michigan's defensive line, who made Michael Penix just feel uncomfortable the entire game. Like, you watch this game, this is not the same quarterback that we saw the previous 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
He was having to make quicker decisions. He was having to anticipate a little bit more. He was just a little bit off. Couldn't get to this progression or that progression, and couldn't see the field as good as he has seen it the entire season. And it cost Washington in the biggest game of the year. It just a few missed deep passes. Like, watching the game, that's the first time I've watched Washington all year. And just they never seemed to hit a deep ball, right?
Yeah.
It
was one play away, and they couldn't make that one play to get them right back in the game. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Kirk said it in the booth, but I think it was the first time under this head coach where they didn't have a pass past 20 yards in the first half, which is bizarre. A great stat in itself already, but just proves the point of Michigan's defensive line just causing havoc the entire game. DBs obviously played well. I mean, they have an elite receiver set there, Washington, and just never really felt like the passing game developed at all over the course of the game.
I've got this written down in my notes, and you just said it. Michael Penix Jr. was just a bit off all night. Passes that we're so used to seeing him make, throws that he has been so deadly accurate with, they were just a little high. They were just a little outside. They just weren't as in the bucket as they have been to get those huge chunk plays in which he put up gaudy statistics all season long, and those elite wide receivers were able to make those explosives week after week. The Huskies could just never get that one play, and there were often times where you're like, wow, if they had just had made that play, this would be a totally different ball game. Washington was just 2 of 14 on third down. And when I talk about Michael Penix just being a bit off, you gave the credit to where it's due. The Michigan defensive front, they were collapsing that pocket all night long. He never really had his feet set underneath him. He was never really able to step into throws to make those accurate passes. It seemed like oftentimes he was scrambling outside the pocket. He was throwing off his back foot. He was just heaving stuff up, hoping for a prayer. And Washington only had 46 rushing yards. So they weren't really able to sell any sort of play action or get Michigan's defense guessing. So in a spot where Michael Penix has really been able to show up in those big games, last night, Jake, 27 of 51, two interceptions to just one touchdown. Michigan, again, 303 rushing yards. Blake Corral and Donovan Edwards both went over 100 yards. Both had two touchdowns. That was the biggest difference in the game. And I said it when I opened this up. The final score, 34 to 13, really doesn't tell the story. With 11 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game, in the fourth quarter, Washington gets a big 36-yard chunk play. Michael Penix off his back foot to Rome Odunze. The score was 20 to 13. Washington was down by 7 points with less than 12 minutes in the game. They were driving. It felt like they were about to go score, and then there's laundry on the field, Jake. Kind of a controversial holding call on number 73, Rosengarten, who had a couple of penalties, call back some big plays all night long. Right when you thought, here we go, this is going to become a game, Washington's finally going to go make a drive, they get that big chunk play. It gets called back on this holding call. I had you watch it again before we jumped on to record. What were your thoughts on the holding call? Some were saying it was a phantom call. A lot of people on social media said Washington got called all night. Michigan never had anything called on them. I feel like it was almost like the motion of which the players were falling and maybe where the hands were going. I don't know. I'll defer to the quarterback.
Yeah, this is tough. I mean, I play quarterback. I'm an offensive guy. But I can see where, you know, the white hat's coming from, the ref behind the quarterback. like what he saw. Like 99 times out of 100, when you see that twist, torque, pull and push motion that the right tackle did, 99 times out of 100, that's an easy holding call. Now, when you have the opportunity to slow it down and see it, hey, it really just looks like the Michigan guy trips and falls over. And there wasn't
almost like he didn't even hold him. Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of pushing and pulling really at all. But man, in real time, having to make those split second calls, it's tough. It's obviously one that I'm sure a lot of Washington people and fans really wish that didn't happen, because that's a point in the game where they can gain some momentum, come back. I mean, they're only down 7 in that situation. So that's really tough. I'm leaning on it probably was, but I think the call could have gone either way. And just sadly, it went the wrong way. And I think it would have made the game a little bit more exciting, a little more fun to watch. I think Michigan, either way, still earned this win.
No doubt.
Regardless of the call.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was 17-3 at one point. I thought in the first quarter or right after the first quarter ended, it looked like Michigan was about to score another touchdown and go up 21-3 and have that game get way out of hand. Washington's defense, I'll give them tons of credit. You would not have sold me earlier in the week by saying Washington's defense is going to keep them in the game. And that's exactly what they did. They hung on there in the second quarter. They had a big stop on fourth down before halftime. Really, throughout the third quarter, they held on and allowed Washington's offense to have a chance. But then you have to start pressing. Penix throws the interception that almost goes back for a touchdown. Michigan goes up 27-13. And then they knock in another one late for the final score of 34-13. So Big Ten champs, Harbaugh gets over the hump. Michigan wins their first national title since 1997. Now the storylines are, where does Jim Harbaugh go from here? Will this Michigan victory be tainted? Will the NCAA step in and close their investigation on the sign-stealing scandal that's been going on? Before we get to that, how would you rate this game? Did you enjoy watching it? Did you think it was a good football game? I was kind of indifferent. Of course, I'm going to tune in. I love college football, but I don't know. There was a little left to be desired.
Very interesting you asked that question, because last night we had a quarterback dinner. We were in a back room. We were all sitting there watching it on the TV.
Where'd you go? What restaurant, steakhouse? Talk to me.
Nothing crazy. A place called the Falls in Falls Church, Virginia. Okay.
But you're about to be like Outback Steakhouse or something. Nothing wrong with Outback, but I'm glad you at least had a nice dinner.
Yeah, we had a great dinner. Really, really good, just to kind of finish the season and finish with a little bit of time spent with the guys. But it seemed like a common theme that all the guys kind of felt and said that it just didn't really see the game didn't seem all that hyped up.
Yeah.
Like the media really wasn't pushing it as much. They weren't quite as excited to watch it. I mean, they're going to watch it because it's the national championship, but I don't know. Just to for those guys, you know, Jacoby and Sam, they both said, it's just a little, you know, maybe a little off or not quite as exciting. The game was good. It was good all the way down to the end of the fourth quarter. So not like the Georgia TCU situation.
I know.
That's obviously good, you know, for dog fans. But I thought it was a good game. And I think one of the top two teams in the country won the national championship.
Yes, I would say that too. I mean, Michigan's obviously a big draw. National brand, most all-time wins in the history of college football. I could guarantee you the committee and ESPN was begging for Michigan to face off against Texas. I think that would have had a lot more national lure. Be interested to see what the ratings were. I mean, in comparison to last year, the ratings were abysmal when Georgia blew out TCU. Georgia, Alabama a couple years ago, that was a big game, especially for us being down here in the Southeast. But I kind of felt the same way as well. I wish Michael Penix Jr. would have played better. I mean, Washington had an unbelievable season. That's not to take anything away from Michigan. It just goes to show you that style of football, right? Physicality on the lines of scrimmage, run the ball, don't turn the ball over. If you do that consistently, oftentimes you're going to have a great chance. And Michigan goes 15-0. College football 2.0 is done. We now enter college football 3.0, which of course is a 12-team playoff, super conferences with 4 West Coast teams joining the Big Ten. So it'll be interesting. I'm very fascinated to see what college football will be like for the average fan and for the super fan heading into 2024. The AP, the Associated Press, Jake, they just released their final rankings. Unanimous number one, of course, is Michigan. Number two is Washington. Number three is Texas with two losses. I thought that was pretty interesting. Number four is Georgia. Number five is Alabama. So Georgia finishes the 2023 season at number four in the final AP poll. Alabama right behind them at five. One, of course, Michigan. Two, Washington. Three, Texas.
I don't know, Coach. I just, if you just told me that Georgia and Michigan played on neutral field, you can't out Georgia.
It would have been a great game. I can confidently say that. I think it would have been a great game, knockdown, drag out. Georgia obviously got healthy. Michigan has a certain brand of football. With 1 week to prepare on a neutral site, I think that would have been a very good game. And, of course, you're on social media, you're seeing Georgia would have smoked both these teams. I don't know if they would have smoked Michigan, but I can confidently say that Georgia was one of the best teams in the nation.
Yeah, honestly, season's end. I think they match up better against Michigan than they would have against Washington, to be honest with you.
There's no question about that.
Yeah. So, no question. Just a little food for thought
about that. So that's it. The 2023 season is over. Michigan are your national champions. If you had to guess, you think Harbaugh goes to the NFL? Jake, in his post-game interview with Scott Van Pelt yesterday, he was talking about spring practice dates. He was saying we're going to push things back. Hopefully we get some better weather in Ann Arbor. In the moment like that, of course, he's just going to go process. But there's a lot of rumors going around, and there's a lot of very intriguing head coaching openings in the NFL. What would you have to guess? You think Harbaugh kind of rides off into the sunset, bringing a national championship back to his alma mater?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he rides off in the sunset. I think he takes an NFL job. Just with all the stuff that went on at the beginning of the year, you don't know what the ramifications of that is going to be next year. You don't know. Hey, let's leave it in the past. Let's move on to bigger, better things. Could probably make a boatload of money getting an NFL job. And hey, why not?
Get a Super Bowl.
Hey, why not? Let's go face off against Brother John in a Super Bowl again, right? I don't know if you saw this, but during the game, John Harbaugh, I think, surprised him just by how Jim reacted. But John shows up on the sideline. Like,
that was cool.
Yeah, kind of comes over, wraps his arm around him. You know, hey, how you doing? What's up? And Jim looked all like surprised. And I mean, that's pretty cool to me. Brother showing up and surprising you at a natty. And both these guys are at the top level in both leagues is pretty cool stuff.
No question about it. You know, if Jim Harbaugh does go back to the NFL and tries to win a Super Bowl, which of course that would be his goal, he would cement himself as one of the greatest football coaches of all time. There's no doubt about it. While he was the head coach at San Francisco, he went 44-19, took them to three NFC championship games, and went to a Super Bowl. I mean, he is a really, really good coach. So I think his style fits in the NFL. I think that's where he wants to kind of find that success. And I think that's where he will be. What team remains to be seen. So we enter into College Football 3.0, as Peter Burns from SEC Network put it, 12-team playoffs, super conferences, longer seasons, two bye weeks. Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC, USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon join the Big Ten. It's fascinating times. I feel like, and I hope so. I hope the offseason is short. I hope we get back to college football very soon. All right, I want a couple of other storylines before we get out of here. I saw this quote, and I just have to bring it up because it's hilarious. Talking about the Michigan sign-stealing scandal, I don't even know who said this. I see it from Brett McMurphy on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. This is a quote from an Alabama official that was given at the Rose Bowl. Quote, look, an Alabama official told me at the Rose Bowl last week, everyone, and I mean everyone, is stealing signs. Michigan was not the only school doing this. Added an industry source, I don't even know why he would go this way, quote, Kansas basketball cheats more than anyone, and they didn't do anything to Kansas. The only pure thing in college athletics is Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt sucks, end quote. That's what this guy said. I was like, so Kansas basketball, he gets a huge ricochet shot. Yeah. And then he just completely dunks on Vanderbilt, saying Vandy doesn't cheat, and that's why they do suck. And I believe it's Brett McMurphy. He ends this by saying, that's where college athletics is in 2024. If you're not cheating, you're not trying, or you're just Vanderbilt. So, wow. You know, is I guess it goes back to the age-old question. Is stealing signs considered cheating, or is it simply in the form and fashion of which you do it? Because you and I sat here in week six when all this news broke and said, yes, of course everybody steals signs. If you're that dumb enough to have your signs steal a bowl, then people are going to take that information and use it against you. But I just found that fascinating. KU basketball getting a big old slap across the face, yeah. And then Vanderbilt. I mean, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, caught in the crossfire here at Kansas and Vandy. That just that sucks. I don't know what else to say about that. But yeah, man, we talked about it earlier. If it's on tape and you can see it 100%, it's fair game. Like, it's a competitive advantage. It's an edge. However, where it gets blurry is what Michigan did with Connor Stallions in the allegedly in the advanced scouting. Ahead
in person scouting,
in person to opponents you're going to play later in the year. That's where the lines get blurry. I'm pretty sure it explicitly states that you cannot do that.
That's correct.
But they allegedly did it. It's a blurred line there. But hey, man, if I'm watching tape and I see what's going on,
that's what watching tape is. That's what you do.
100%. Going to use that. I'm going to, put that in my little brain notepad.
Yep.
And if I see it on Saturday or Sunday, hey, and I know it's quarters and I got a post alert for quarters, you best believe I'm taking that 5-step drop and I'm letting her eat. So
absolutely. No
gotta
question
do,
about it.
Got to do what you got to do.
And Jim Harbaugh in his post-game press conference yesterday remained adamant. These guys are innocent. We did nothing wrong. We did not cheat. This is a pure win. They did everything they're supposed to do. I mean, just continued to say it time and again. So there you go. We'll see what happens, please.
Two things I believe both of us can agree on wholeheartedly that we want in college football. Number one, televise the committee selection. Committee
meetings, absolutely.
We would love that. And two, let's just go ahead and put the earpiece in the quarterback's helmet. Let's negate all this stuff. You don't need it. We have the money. We have
remove
the technology.
Remove the gray area. Remove the gray area. Exactly. Let's Thank go you, Jake Fromm. Thank you, Jake Fromm. Here's something. I have a question, and you might judge me after I ask this question. Okay. So just, you probably have no idea where I'm going. You might think I'm a bad guy, but I promise you I'm not.
It's a great way to start this off.
What the hell's going on with the Kirk Herbstreit dog deal? I mean, is this the most tired storyline in college football? This dog is standing on the 50-yard line 10 minutes before kickoff of the national championship game. This dog is in the booth with Kirk Herbstreit after the game. We get it. It's a cute dog. I love dogs. I don't need to see the dog having his credential for the national championship game. I don't need to see the dog on my social media. I love dogs. Is the Kirk Herbstreit dog storyline tired and played out? Judge me if you want, Jake, but I'm like, okay. I mean, look, my sources tell me that dog took a shit in the 49ers locker room a couple of weeks ago when they were doing Thursday Night Football. It's a dog. I mean, what are we doing with the dog? I'm trying to watch football. Am I a bad guy?
I can't wait to text Charlie after this and get the official
scoop.
Oh,
yes, please do.
Actually, he just called me a second ago. Let me see.
You should just
text
him and say, yeah, I'm taping a podcast with Drew Butler. Did he said he heard Herbstreit's dog took a shit in the 49ers locker room.
Poop in the locker room. Okay.
Text Thank you very much.
Text has been sent. We will wait on confirmation of the story. I'm leaning. I look, first off, disclaimer.
Of course.
Absolutely love dogs, man.
It's
love
a beautiful
dogs.
Dog too.
Beautiful dog, right? But I am probably going to lean more on your side on this. I just don't think it's needed, right? Like once, maybe twice. I think it's cool. Oh, hey, I didn't know you could do that. Or you got a lot of pull. You know, now it's just kind of I'm okay with it. I'm good. That's for me. Like that's me going to work, right?
Exactly.
I'm going to work. So, it's just not needed in my.
When opinion. I was at the Georgia Ole Miss game, in which Fowler and Herb Street did that game on ESPN, it's 10 minutes before kickoff, and the dog is gallivanting on Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. To your point, you're trying to go to work. Yeah. And you got this dog running, you know, sideline to sideline, standing at midfield. I don't know. I just thought we love the dog. I know it got credentialed at the Rose Bowl. I know it's cute. I think we need to retire the dog bit in 2024. Sue me.
Sue me. Nice.
All right. Couple of last news and notes. How about Quinshon Judkins? Ole Miss running back. It was reported that he was asking for around $1.2 million in NIL compensation to come back to Ole Miss. They do not meet those demands. If that, in fact, was the case, he is headed to Ohio State. So get this. Ohio State has gotten Will Howard, quarterback from Kansas State, Seth McLaughlin, the embattled center from Bama, Alabama center who had struggled all season long. He's heading to Ohio State, and Quinshon Judkins. So a little three-headed monster heading up to Columbus. Any thoughts there? I mean, I think Quinshon Judkins could fit in pretty well in that offense if they utilize him correctly.
Yeah, I'm so surprised that they let him walk.
I know.
I mean, that was their guy. I feel like the offense just flows through that player. I mean, he's a good player, and so you got to be able to find and do something to help this guy out to want to stay. So that sucks for Ole Miss, but I do think he will have a lot of success at Ohio State. I think that's a great system for him.
Yeah,
going to have plenty of opportunities. And
they've lost a lot of receivers as well, too. So it's not like they've got 10 elite wide receivers. They'll be leaning pretty heavily on Quinshon Judkins.
I think so. I think I wouldn't be surprised if you saw them lean a lot more towards maybe a Michigan style offense, running the ball and trying to control the line of scrimmage. Time will tell. We'll see. But having him in the backfield definitely helps the case for that.
Absolutely. Last bit, Kevin Steele retiring from Alabama. I know you have a relationship with Coach Steele. You've been recruited by all these guys. So he is retiring. Alabama will be in the market for a defensive coordinator. And a lot of people I saw last night are worrying maybe Nick Saban comes over to Georgia staff and says, hey, Mr. Glenn Schumann, would you be interested in being the defensive coordinator at Alabama? Of course, Schumann, the co-defensive coordinator right now with Coach Will Muschamp. Schumann's been with Kirby since day one at Georgia. I don't think he would take the lateral move, regardless of pay. I don't think he would do that.
I just don't see that happening. He had the opportunity to be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. And didn't do it. I think he loves Athens. I think his family loves being there. And he's making a boatload of money
Be
a co-defensive coordinator at the University of Georgia. So taking the lateral move.
And that roster is stacked next year at Georgia. Roster is absolutely stacked next year at Georgia. So I don't think he will be leaving the University of Georgia either. You got any news for me there to Charlie?
Yeah, Charlie hits me with a I don't know at what game question mark. So
it must have been their Thursday night game because that was what Herbtree would have done. So my sources said it happened. So
yeah, sources. Yeah, absolutely. Like it's not a confirmed yes, and it's definitely not a confirmed no. You know, Charlie could have been so locked in. You just don't know.
Absolutely. So, well, man, that's about all I got. College football, I'm sure some news and notes will continue to break. If Harbaugh leaves Michigan, that will be a massive coaching vacancy that will surely have some ripple effects. Jake teased it at the end of last week's episode, possibly Brian Kelly at LSU, then LSU's open. So just understand the trickle-down effect of a Michigan football head coaching vacancy. But, hey, we'll jump on here, get a couple of episodes going for everybody, keep you up to date on the haps around college football. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's been an awesome, awesome season. A huge thank you to our presenting sponsor, Salomon Brothers Jewelers. Go check them out. They will give you 10% off your jewelry purchase if you mention Punt and Pass. Simply the best. Three amazing locations. One's in Alpharetta, just past the Avalon. The other in Buckhead. 17th floor Tower Place and a brand new location down in Peachtree City. The lowest prices on the highest quality jewelry and diamonds guaranteed. I can guarantee that. Because I literally was just there. It's unbelievable. Their Rolex and watch selection is sick as well. Check them out on X and Instagram at Salomon Brothers, SalomonBrothers.com. Check us out on social media at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at From Jake, HuntandPass.com. Jake, you're about to hit the road, head back down south to God's country, Athens, right. Georgia, Watkinsville area. What you got for me? What you got on the way out?
Nothing. Got a long drive and pouring rain. Got a lot to sit and ponder, get ready for the off season. But, man, it's always bittersweet for me when football season ends, you know?
Yep.
You enjoy it a lot. And, man, when it's over, it's over.
Never take it for granted. Never take it for granted.
Can't, especially when you get my age and where I'm at in the NFL. You never know. 28?
25. 25?
25,
God. God bless you, man. I'll be 35 in May, so. You got a lot of good years ahead of you, Jake Fromm.
I think I'm rooting for you, man.
Thanks, brother. Well, hey, I appreciate you. It's been an awesome season. Appreciate everybody. Hit us up on social media. Have a fantastic week, and we will talk to you later on. See you.
We out.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out.
Or move.
There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.